I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast. I've got some bandages on my ass.
Do you?
Yes.
Tell me everything. I'm dying to know.
Okay, you guys, I have to tell you what I got done because I cannot gatekeep this. It's the coolest thing. I think it's pretty unique. Nobody knows about this. So I got my cellulite removed. I know that sounds crazy and like unrealistic.
No, it sounds amazing and sign me up.
I did. So I went to this guy, Dr. Manis. Who, yes. You know who he is. He's a surgeon in LA on Sunset Boulevard. And I had this done like 5 years ago. So it doesn't last forever. It lasts maybe, I'd say, a good solid 3 years. And then I started to notice like cellulite coming back. And then it just got to the point 5 years later where I decided I wanted to do it again.
Question.
Yes.
Do you think it's the same cellulite coming back? Because my...
No, kind of a different pattern.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, cellulite is caused because you have this fascia like right underneath your skin that kind of, it's like a net. It holds everything together. And then fat underneath it starts to like pucker against that net. So what he does to like get rid of the cellulite, and he does this while I'm awake, it's like not even like a surgery, is he like, I mean, I don't know exactly what he's doing because my butt's numb.
I've seen it. I've seen a video of what they do.
But it's like they take a needle and they go in and they like poke where the skin connects to the fascia and like kind of undo it. So it like loosens up.
Yeah.
So then you don't have the cellulite anymore.
Yeah. So they take the needle and they push it in and then they kind of like rub, move it back and forth and it like cuts that band.
Yeah. And I forget what it's called. I'm going to vlog about it for my YouTube because I just feel like people should know about this. Like I always like being transparent about stuff. And I just feel like nobody knows about this procedure. And I asked Dr. Manis today, I'm like, did you invent this? Because I feel like nobody knows about it. He goes, yeah, I did. He said he did it on Doc 90210, that show that used to be on E a long time ago.
Maybe that's why I've seen a video of it.
Yeah, he said he did it on Doc 90210, but it was just something he just kind of figured out. He says a lot of his patients come in and they're not even asking for specific things that exist. They'll be like, how can you fix this? I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool procedure. You're like awake the whole time.
How much did it hurt?
The only thing that hurt is they inject you with a little bit of painkiller. So that needle you can feel, but the rest of it, you can't even feel anything.
Is it just one injection or do they have to do painkiller every time they do a poke?
I mean, maybe like 2 injections per butt cheek.
Okay.
But it was super easy. It took 45 minutes total. This is the second time I've had it done. I think it's a really cool thing. And you guys, cellulite is totally normal. Every woman almost, like 99.999% has it. So don't feel like you have to do anything about it or anything like that. It's just, I think for me, because I like to take a lot of photos and...
Well, it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Damaged by trying to live up to a weird beauty standard. But I do believe in being transparent and I don't want to gatekeep. So Speaking of, what is Megan Fox gatekeeping?
I know, right?
She was on Call Her Daddy talking about the surgery she's had, what she hasn't had. And then she says, oh, and then there's this other really great thing I'm gatekeeping. I'm not telling anybody about it.
She's got to know that's going to make everybody speculate like 1,000 times more than they would have.
Yeah, maybe she's just a viral genius and just put it out there so it would go viral.
Maybe.
Everybody I see on TikTok who's speculating thinks it's a labiaplasty, but I feel like that's not a new thing.
Yeah.
I feel like... like labiaplasty isn't like a big secret thing that nobody knows about.
No. And you wouldn't even like, I don't even know why you would tell somebody if you had that done because it's such a private thing. And it's not like anyone's going to be like, wait, did you do something?
I think that's why people think that that's the one she's gatekeeping. But it also doesn't make sense because she made it sound like it's this really cool thing that nobody knows about.
Yeah, that wouldn't be that. Yeah. I think it's a face thing.
Me too. And I'm thinking I'd probably want it. So spill the beans.
Yeah. So I feel like curious. It's something that's like face tightening.
Probably because she was going in on how she's never had threads and never had a facelift, but she's not opposed to it. And she's had 3 kids and her face is tight.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Maybe it's like some new laser that like really tightens up the skin or something.
Yeah. Megan, reconsider. Let us know.
Or like hit us up and just tell us.
Yeah, we just need to know. Megan's very witchy, so maybe she could just like put out the intention and I'd pick up on it.
Oh, and then all of a sudden you'd find it.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, this is what I need to do.
Hook me up, Megan. So today, speaking of witchy, Our episode is called Girls Will Be Ghouls. It is our second Halloween episode of the series. This is season 2, episode 12. It first aired on October 15th, 2006. So right before Halloween. The number one song in the UK at this time was Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. The number one movie was The Grudge 2. Remember that noise?
Yeah.
And the majority of this was a pretty fast turnaround because the majority of this was filmed in September 2006 because a lot of the Halloween footage is the previous year's yes. Halloween footage. But then like the haunted tour and stuff, that's all like what we really did for your birthday. So this is kind of a birthday episode too without saying it's a birthday.
Kind of is. You know what we actually did for my birthday is me, you, and my mom went to Universal Studios.
Yeah, I have a ton of pictures from that.
Me too. We can post those too. Mm-hmm. But
on our Patreon.
We did this like early September. So I think we kind of did it as a birthday thing.
Yeah, that
that's
makes
how
sense.
That's how I made everybody mm-hmm. come.
Yeah.
Forced. Kendra. That's how I got her to get to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it starts out with like the Halloween props and lighting at the mansion, which is always so good.
It's such a good mood. I love the Halloween episodes. They're some of my favorite. I think just because they're so lighthearted and drama free. It's never about the girls not liking each other. It's never about what's our dynamic with Hef. It's just a time when Kevin felt free to just do a fun, cartoony episode.
Yeah, and there's lots of special effects in this one.
I know. Lots. It's so funny.
Lots and lots.
So, I love it so much.
I point out some of them, but I don't even think I point out the half of them.
Yeah, there's like lightning and sound effects and little orbs
eyes.
And eyeballs popping out and
growls.
Screams. Yeah,
people totally. Turn into skulls and
yeah,
screaming.
It's
and
so fun.
I love it all. I eat it all up.
And obviously, like we said, the Halloween footage, including, I think, Pumpkin Night was from the year before.
And it cuts to me in my room and shows me in the med room because I just got done decorating for the Pumpkin Night. They kind of show this a little out of order. It's kind of choppy, I
yeah,
feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm just getting done decorating for Pumpkin Night and I have to run upstairs and start changing. I have my French maid headband on already. And so it doesn't make sense what they show next because I go upstairs and it shows me applying all of the stitches and stuff. And I was doing that for Bride of Frankenstein. So that's a totally different thing that they were showing.
But you were Bride of Frankenstein a long time before this. Did you do it a second time?
I did it a second
okay,
time.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was going to be like, I thought that was like your first Halloween here.
Mm-mm. It was. But
do
I
you
want
to hear a funny story?
What?
I remember that first Halloween you were with us and you were so excited about your Frankenstein stitches and stuff and you showed it to me. And I remember being terrified for you that you would get in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, oh my God, Hef's not going to like it.
Because they were too gruesome?
Yeah. Like I didn't say anything. And obviously you didn't get in trouble. It was fine. But that was just my mindset at that time. Like I remember you showing me that and I was thinking, oh my God, she's going to get in so much trouble.
Oh, because it wasn't sexy and hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you were sexy and hot, but I just thought that it was so outside of the box for Hef, and I just was scared.
I think a lot of my costumes were, because I always, like, I love to be sexy and, and pretty for Halloween, but I always have to have a gruesome detail to it.
Well, I think he liked your costumes. I think I was just in a mindset because everything was so conformist.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was so scary to step out of line. I was like, oh.
I love Fuck. Being an outlier.
Yes, I know.
Breaking those
we
boundaries.
We needed some outliers.
And I say it's a holiday where you can go all out and you can be as themed as you want to be and you can be whoever you want to be because you can dress up in costumes and blah, blah, blah. And I still believe that today. Like, I feel like Halloween,
totally.
One of the things that makes Halloween so amazing is you can do whatever you want and nobody's going to be like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And rarely will people even be like, well, that's too far. I mean, there are a few things.
Yeah.
But like usually like it's. Sky's the limit.
Totally.
And I just love having that kind of creative freedom and the opportunity to do that and knowing that no one's going to judge me that day because it's Halloween
mm-hmm.
or I'm at a Halloween party. It shows Winnie in her Zero costume.
Cute.
Which I love. And my room this year is decorated so good.
Was that the year you had the wallpaper and
yes,
stuff?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm bummed because, like I said, they are showing this all out of order and choppy. And so in the beginning, my room is totally decorated, all done. But it's actually later in the season because you're going to see when Elvira comes up, which is coming up in this episode. it's all pink.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. It really jumps back and forth.
And not only that, but my bed too. It's right when I, well, I'll get to it, but it's right when I got my round bed. So my round bed is in there, but there's no custom, I don't have any kind of bedding for it yet because it's a round bed. Yeah. So I had to have it made. And yeah, everything's just sort of a mess and in transition at this point.
Isn't it funny how round beds are supposed to be sexy? And I know that's because of Hef, because he was like the first one to like do a round bed in like a high profile way. But I was looking through, I saw on Instagram, somebody was mourning the loss of one of those Poconos hotels, one of the last standing ones, just got sold. So they're scared it's going to be like tore down. So they were posting all the pictures and it has like the champagne hot tub and the heart-shaped tub and stuff like that. And it also has a round bed. And I was just thinking how funny, because there's nothing inherently sexy about just like a round bed by itself. If anything, I think you're more likely to slip off. You don't even got a corner to grab onto. But it's thought of as like sexy because Hef had one. And I wonder why he decided to have one. Like, it was just, was it just like a fun mid-century design element? And then he added all the bells and whistles, like, oh, it rotates and it does this and it vibrates.
Vibrates apparently.
But it's just funny to me because it's like a round bed is thought of as like this sexy thing. But there's really, like, when you just break it down, there's nothing sexy because a bed is round.
I'm going to throw out a theory. And yes. I think you're right. I think it's just because Hef had one that it became like a sexy bed. But I will say that because it's round, you can't, like, you would have to sleep closer to somebody. So, like, my sister spent the night, like, we had way more room in my queen size bed where you can, like, both be on an edge.
Okay.
Then if you're in a round bed, it forces you to be, like, closer in, especially the taller the person is, the further towards the middle they have to be. So two small girls can be, we never touched, you know? Uh-huh. But, like, if you were a couple, it kind of forces you into the middle together.
Interesting.
A little more so than usual, especially if you're taller.
Yeah.
So
don't go slipping around.
Could possibly be. Yeah. And then you put those satin sheets on there and you're slipping all over the place. I remember my pillow were always slipping off the bed.
Oh, yeah. I have satin sheets now, too. And that's always, everything's fallen off.
Nick hates them. He's like, no on the satin sheets. No. Which is fine. And I still have my round bed, by the way.
Fun.
I don't know if I don't remember if there's an episode that like kind of talks about my room transitioning and getting the round bed or not. That's interesting because it's brand new in this scene, I can tell.
And it's like that through the series, like even in later seasons, like in one scene, you'll have hardwood floors. And then in another scene, it goes back to carpet. It's just like all over the place.
Yeah. One scene, I have like a canopy bed. And the next scene, I have the round bed.
Today's show is sponsored by Care Of.
I'm super excited because I got my Care Of vitamins this week. And I love it because it's the little things, you know, like first, I went on and did a quiz and they told me exactly what supplements they thought I would need or maybe what I wanted. And then they come in these cute little bags that are like zipped off and they have my name on it and they're all stacked in a little box. So it's easy just to pull out what you need for the day and take them with you on the go. And I just love that. I love that they're personalized and customized like that. Care Of is a health and wellness company that ships high quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every month. All you do to get started is take a short, simple online quiz about your lifestyle and health goals, and Care Of will give you doctor-backed recommendations. It's that easy. Care Of makes taking your vitamins on the go so convenient with individual daily packs that are perfect for a busy routine. Just throw a few in your purse, gym bag, or suitcase, and you're all set. Care Of's daily vitamin packs are made with plant-based compostable film to help limit the impact on the environment without compromising on the quality and safety of their products.
For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code NEXTLEVEL50. That's 50% off your first Care Of subscription order at takecareof.com and enter code NEXTLEVEL50.
In an interview, Holly says, I like to believe in ghosts. I think it's fun. I don't know how real it is. I mean, I'm probably not going to find out in my lifetime if it's real or not. So why not have fun with it?
I thought that was funny and like a be careful what you wish for moment because I feel like I found out.
Yeah, fuck around and find out.
Yeah, not like I have like the answers for anybody, but I've had so many experiences like since then. So I just kind of laugh when I hear myself say that. I'm probably not going to find out in this lifetime.
Well, you're not going to find out the answers, but you're going to find out
I've seen some shit.
Yeah, that there's something going on. Well, I feel like you got your answer almost immediately, but we're still in denial because that time we're sitting on my floor scrapbooking.
Oh, that was a blatant one.
Yeah, and she just says, you know, I want to believe, but I just need some sort of sign. And all of a sudden my TV went to like so loud volume and we're running for like, where's the remote? And it was on my bed. We were on the floor. Nothing is next to it. And I had to turn the TV down.
The timing on it was impeccable.
And it was loud, like totally. Full volume.
And I love that they're just showing little details like the pumpkins in the trunk of the limo, because for pumpkin night, we would always go to the pumpkin patch. It used to be Mr. Bones, which back then, Mr. Bones pumpkin patch. And that, if you don't know, is like the pumpkin patch everybody goes to get paparazzi'd when they go get pumpkins every year in LA. It used to be on the corner of like Club View and Wilshire, like right on Wilshire. And I remember always thinking like, how is this plot of land just available? Like it's so valuable. And now there's a high rise there. Mm. But for the longest time, it was just this empty plot of land. And every October, Mr. Bones pumpkin patch was right there. And it was right down the street from the mansion. So we would go get pumpkins and load up the trunk of the limo with the pumpkins. And I wish they would have followed us to the pumpkin patch. And I'll get to why later.
I wish they would have too. We have cute pictures from the pumpkin patch.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't allow filming. I find that hard to believe, though, because it was such a paparazzi haven.
No.
Like, Mr. Bones had to know what they were doing.
I feel like I remember them saying that they wouldn't allow them to film.
Oh, no. You know what? You're right, because so many celebrities went there. That's why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And I love that you can see me eating a Frankenberry treat, because that was something I always made every year and still do for Halloween.
Did you see that it cuts to you? Like, you're in a like cute ponytail in your shirt, and then it cuts to you in, like, curlers?
Yeah.
It's so all over the place. And then it's funny because Brian asks you a question. And you're like, I couldn't even understand. Yeah. There's something about it's over there or something. Yeah. But didn't they stop making Frankenberry for a little while?
I don't remember that.
I thought you were having the hardest time finding
it. There was a period of time where it was harder to find. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought they've quit making it for a while. Now, every time I see Frankenberry when it's in the store, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Holly knows this is here because it's in my head. Oh, no.
Every year, immediately when I see it, I stock up. So there must have been a scarcity time because I still operate like that. Like if it's September 20th and I see Frankenberry, I'm like, Gotta get it. Yeah, gotta get it before it's not there anymore.
Definitely was, because I have it in my brain instilled still.
Yeah. Did you try Carmella Creeper, the new monster cereal that came out this year? It's good. It's like caramel apple flavor. Oh, and she's a DJ, like a zombie DJ.
Can I tell you something about Apple, though? So way back when, and this was not, I feel like, around my 21st birthday, which we were just talking about, but like it was maybe a little bit after that, but do you remember when apple martinis were the fucking thing? Like,
yes.
It was just uh-huh. Like you wouldn't go anywhere without ordering an apple martini. Totally. Or like whatever. Everything was apple flavor and apple was such a thing.
Uh-huh.
I loved them. Oh, and there were variations too. There was like the Washington apple.
Yeah. Like, yes. If you were sophisticated, you'd get the Washington apple.
Exactly. And there was even the caramel apple and everything, like, had, like, goo on the bottom, caramel goo. But I burnt myself out on apple flavoring so bad that now, like, if I get, like, a candy and it has, like, an apple one in there, like, I don't even know what it would be right now, like a chewy sweet tart or something like that, I have to, like, throw the apple ones out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you probably wouldn't like Carmella Creeper.
I would have back in the day before I like totally like killed myself on apple stuff.
And they also sell a box that's like a mix of all the monster cereals.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I made treats out of those this year too, this last year.
And then in interview, I say little things have happened, random things. Like I was taking some pictures throughout the mansion and I caught orbs, paranormal balls of energy. It's really creepy. And everyone I showed it to was like, whoa. But the thing is with this, because orbs are very, very controversial. So I want to talk about this for a second. Orbs in pictures are usually dust or a bug or like a lens flare or something like that. And I was not referring to those orbs. They show a whole bunch of those in these pictures that they show. The one that I'm referring to is I was taking pictures for my Clue birthday party, and I took a picture of the Great Hall, and above the chandelier is a giant. It looks like the moon is in the house. It's huge. And they do show it, but they show it so up close that you can't tell the size or like really where it is or anything like that. And it was so massive. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. So I took it back to Ritz Camera, where we used to get our pictures developed. And I asked them, what is this in my picture? And they went through the negatives. I'm like, what are those things called again? They went through the negatives and they looked at it with a loop. And they said they have no idea what that could be. And I've asked other paranormal investigators since who like analyze that kind of stuff, what their thoughts are. And nobody can get back to me on an answer. Nobody.
Weird.
So I'm not saying it's paranormal. I think it's very weird, though. Yeah. And I wish that somebody would give me some sort of answer. And you guys, I know all the big players in this field. Nobody can give me an answer.
That's so crazy.
I don't know if they just don't want to burst my bubble. That's not paranormal.
No, people are waiting to burst people's bubbles.
That's what I think, too. So why? Like, it's very interesting that nobody knows.
Yeah. I do love that they showcase your orb photos, though. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I love that they're documenting because they talk about you getting your paranormal investigator certificate. And I love that in the process of that, they're also documenting the original Mrs. Letts story, which we talked about last season, and we'll get to it later, but they document my ghost story in the basement. Like, I'm just so glad that all of that got documented back in the day.
Me too.
So it doesn't just sound like shit we're pulling out of our asses these days.
Yeah. And I know that tape that, because I'm filming too. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I have that tape somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is, but I feel like it would be so fun to watch.
Yeah. So it shows you coming in to the master bedroom or primary bedroom. Sorry. Still trying to switch that up. So it shows you coming into my bedroom and you're talking about getting your paranormal investigator certificate online and you're doing a whole project on the Mrs. Letts story, which we talked about last season. And then part of your project is to document my story about the lady in the gym, right?
Yeah.
So we're going down to the gym, you're filming it, I'm telling the story. And I love that they even capture like the secret passage. They show the entrance to that. They show the closet that pops open. Like, they're showing all this stuff. And when it cuts to my confessional, when I'm talking about this, they have like my Jackie Ho costume wig in the background.
I did not know what it was at first. And I'm like, what is that creepy ass thing? Because they have like the sunglasses. Yeah. It's on like a mannequin head or foam head or whatever. Yeah. It has the hat and the wig and the glasses. But it looks so, my first thought was DB Cooper style back there.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
But it looks creepy. I think they have it lit weird too. So you can't tell what it is really.
They do. And I love that they went out of their way to change the set of my confessional a little bit for the Halloween episode. Because usually when you're doing a confessional, you're talking about like five different episodes in one confessional. So I love it that they went out of their way for the Halloween. And then we're looking in the closet and I find this video certificate with Pamela Anderson. I'm like, oh, this is good for the Pam Anderson room, which was one of the rooms I decorated in the guest house because they all had a theme.
In commentary, you say that you would love, because we're talking about making this documentary of the house being haunted, and you say you would love to do a documentary on GlamourCon. And I was like, even today, I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, you should do that.
Does GlamourCon exist anymore?
No, but I think that's even more fascinating. Like, I'll help you. Let's like talk to the original players, all the people that did it. Like, let's like talk to, because it would be fascinating.
I think the real loss, though, is it's not still going on, so you can't really capture the people that are going now. Because I thought GlamourCon was so fascinating, it should be a documentary. But then at the time, I was like, but you can't really do it without kind of making fun of everyone involved, I feel like.
No, I don't think that's true, because I think that just,
really?
Yeah, because you're just telling the story. That's what a good documentary will do. You're just neutral in telling the story. You let them speak for themselves and you let the audience make their decision. It'll speak for itself.
Yeah, because GlamourCon was interesting.
Yeah, like you don't have to put the spin on it like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They'll do it themselves.
Yeah, if somebody could have magically gone and made a GlamourCon documentary, that would have been really fascinating.
I don't think it's too late. And I bet people have all kinds of video footage of it.
Yeah, I bet you're right. Well, somebody out there, it's not my project, but I think I'd watch it if somebody made it.
I want to do it.
Do it. Do it by all means.
Yeah. Oh, Stacey would be a great person because she was going to it for so long.
Oh, 100%.
She knew all the people. She knows a lot of the guys, the fans that were there. She would do those private shoots and stuff that people could pay for.
Yeah.
Like, she knows the ins and outs. Did I tell you guys how much I love Hungry Root? First of all, I went on and I put in all of like my likes and dislikes, my preferences, everything. And then it sent me like meal plans that it suggested. And then I'm super picky, or should I say particular, about certain ingredients and different like herbs and things like that. So I was able to go on and like take things out or add things and substitute them. Plus, I was able to do like some of my regular grocery shopping on there too. And it was all just delivered to the house. Like, I absolutely love it. Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living. Take a fun short quiz and Hungry Root will get you to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more.
Right now, Hungry Root is offering Girls Next Level listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/nextlevel to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/nextlevel. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
I have a question for you too. When we're heading down the spiral stairs, I say, yeah, I just want you to recreate this and stuff. You said, well, what if I don't want to recreate it? Was there hesitancy for you, or were you just like being silly?
I don't remember, but my instinct is if I hesitated about anything paranormal, it's because I felt like Hef didn't like me being into it.
Oh. But you did it because he knew we were doing this for the show.
Yeah.
So it was probably okay somehow.
Yeah, I really don't know what that comment was all about. So this is, if you're watching this on YouTube or Patreon, this is the DVD. It's Hef's Halloween Spooktacular starring Elvira. This is the back. And did this air anywhere? Like, this wasn't one of the A&E specials that Kevin did for Playboy, was
it? I have no idea.
I think it was just straight to DVD because Playboy was in the DVD business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not even a description on the back of it. There's just random pictures from the Halloween party. And,
well, it must speak for itself.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. Playboy presents Hef's Halloween Spooktacular, hosted by Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I really should have watched this ahead of time so I could talk about it before.
We can do a special on it around Halloween time.
Yeah, we should do that. Like on our Patreon, we'll watch it and react. But what I remember about it was they were documenting all the setup for the Halloween party, kind of like a behind the scenes, what goes into this. Elvira hosted it. And then it was like footage from the Halloween party.
Yeah, that's what I think it is too. It's more about like what goes into having this like big event.
Yeah.
And then you get to see the event.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think it is, too. I don't know that I've ever actually watched it.
I mean, we must have at some point. Like, I can't imagine Hef didn't sit us down and all watch it, but maybe not. I don't know. He might not have been as into these as he was like the more personal stuff.
Right.
But yeah, we'll get into this on Patreon one day.
I like how in interview you say that this whole ghost story may have just been because you were working out and you hardly do that. So your brain just might have been like, what did you say? You might have had a brain attack or something, and it shows your head popping open and your brain like.
I know. They do this funny graphic. I love it.
And then I'm curious, you're wearing a braid across your head. Is that a fake braid?
Yeah, I wore it a lot around this time period. I wore it to Midsummer Night's Dream because I was just going through like scrapbook photos, and I wore it like a handful of times. It's just like one of the headband that looked like hair.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to comment on that whole scene is I love how we do it in the dark. Like we're really doing like a ghost hunting show.
I know,
type of
totally.
Thing. Like there was no reason we needed to do it in the dark, but
it's
like
funny.
Here we are in our night vision. Didn't you find something else in that closet too? And they cut it out.
Probably a picture of Kimberly. I would think.
Oh, yeah. Because I have it here. In commentary, you say they took out the funniest part of that whole scene because you open up that closet and you pull out a picture of Hef and his ex-wife and they put it and you screamed or something like that.
Yeah. And then I don't remember one of them together, but there was a giant like life-size poster of Kimberly in there.
That's funny. Okay, so the next scene, gates are opening, town car is driving up the driveway. They open it up and it's Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this is not an Elvira costume or anything, but I thought it was a very Elvira dress.
It's like an Elvira bound.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm Elvira bounding.
Yeah.
It's got the big old slit, the cleavage, the most important part. Yes. I don't have a dagger or belt or any of that kind of stuff, but maybe I'll be here for Halloween this year.
Yeah.
I had never met her before, but obviously, like, as much as I love Halloween and horror movies and all that stuff, I definitely knew who she was and I definitely was excited to meet her. So this was like kind of a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. And she comes in and she's kind of like in the Great Hall, can't find anybody. It's quiet. During the day, it always is pretty quiet around the mansion.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I think people are surprised that aren't there all the time, uh-huh. You know, like that they think it's just crazy all the time, but it's quiet like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of goes around the corner and finds Kendra in the dining room. They say hi and, you know, kind of have like weird, awkward talk at the dining room table. And Kendra has no idea who she is.
Do you think this scene was kind of set up? Because I feel like the way Kendra goes and introduces herself says to me, set up.
Me too.
Because I feel like if somebody in a costume like that walked in and she was just downstairs eating, she'd just sit down there eating. And she might like say hi and stuff. I don't think she'd get up and like introduce herself in a professional manner.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
I totally think this was set
up. That's kind of what the giveaway is.
Yeah, I think that Kevin was trying to create like a contrast. Like, here's Bridget is just like dying to meet this person. And this is like her horror icon. And then there's Kendra who like is like, who the fuck are you? And why are you dressed like that?
Yeah.
That's what I think he's trying to show.
I like when she mentions too short. And then Elvira goes, it's hard out there for a pimp.
Yeah.
And Kendra goes, you're right.
Yeah. That's what they connected on.
And then Elvira walks into, I think, the living room where Hef is.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah. But
in here, that so in interview, Kendra says that she thinks that Elvira's hot and her boobs hanging out and stuff like that. And she said that after that aired, that she was getting all kinds of, Kendra was getting all kinds of messages saying that she was a lesbian.
I remember that. And I remember Perez Hilton used to call her a lesbian.
I just think it's interesting that maybe it's just back then. I don't know how it is now, but maybe that if you are, when you can admire the female body, even though you're a female and you think something's beautiful, like she has great boobs or whatever, that's suddenly you're gay instead of just like appreciating the female body of someone else. I don't know. I feel like that's sort of, it's interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Whether it was that time frame, if it's still true now.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And then so Elvira walks into the living room and sees Hef. Hef greets her and stuff.
I love how that she does the wiggle over. She goes, duh, 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 and they play that
the
little noise.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
And then I forget what she says leaning up to this, or she says something like, you can always get new girls, or he says that.
Oh, I have it here. So she's telling him that he has such great taste. She's talking about the house and the way he's dressed. We're like the Addams family here, and that she fits right in, and that, you know, she wants to get pictures later for her Christmas card. I wish I would ask her. I need to ask her if she ever used it as her Christmas card.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, that's a good idea. I'm going to use it as mine, too, the picture as his Christmas card. And he said, the girls might be a little upset, but hey. And she says, well, you can always get new girls, right? Our biggest fear.
But doesn't he say something after it? Like,
and he
absolutely
says,
but he says,
that's right. Easy come, easy go.
I don't like his attitude there. I really don't.
And I think they're 100% just joking
around.
Well,
she for sure is. Like, she's fully like playing a part and being funny. But his tone, I felt like, was rude and not totally joking around. And I was like, ew, fuck you.
I know. I felt like I even felt that way at the time, too. Now I look at it and go, he's joking, she's joking, like, whatever. But, like, I do feel it. And it's because it's such a triggering thing for us because... And I don't think we had any worry at this time. Like, I think we were solid, all of us. And I don't think that he was wanting anybody in, and everything was good, good, good. But just hearing him say that and being so flip about it is like hurtful. Then it shows us peeking over the railing.
Yeah, fans peeking down.
Yeah, because I was so excited. But at the same time, like, I'm sort of shy when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I don't like approaching people, even though she's in our house, you know. I still feel, like, very nervous. And I definitely didn't want to interrupt, like, what they needed to do.
Yeah, well, also, we never knew when we were welcome with stuff like that. Like, if Hef was filming something, obviously, sometimes we would be invited or, you know, supposed to join him for certain things. But we didn't always know if we were welcome to stuff like that. Like, it wasn't really casual, like, oh, this is my boyfriend filming. Of course, I'm going to pop down and say hi. Like, we still have that feeling even then of like, oh, if we go interrupt, we might get in trouble or yelled at or something.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's so funny. She's like looking up at us and she goes, I'll never be as beautiful as her. We might as well just jump.
Yeah. And Hef says, we're talking about moving her in as a new girlfriend. What do you think? And I'm like, she can share my room.
And that cuts to me in confessional rolling my eyes and they put like green eyes.
And they put like a snorting noise. It's like,
I know. It's so funny.
It's so scary. Oh, and you say in commentary that the fans were taking the scene totally serious and then saying that he shouldn't make Elvira a new girlfriend.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That people wrote to you saying that she was mean. Oh, no, wait. I say people wrote to me saying that she was mean to me.
Damn, people did not get the humor.
No, not at all. And you guys, just for the record, I did not think that she was being mean to me at all. And this is my very first opportunity of meeting her. And we have been friends ever since.
Well, it's crazy that I feel like it's kind of obvious that Elvira is like playing a character and she's being funny, but people thought she was being rude. But Hef can be like, ah, who cares what the girls think? You can always get new girls. Absolutely. Ha ha ha. And nobody's like, Hef's a dick.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
You're so right.
Do you guys know what one of my biggest challenges is right now? Keeping everything straight, just like mom life and work life and keeping track of like everybody's schedule. What days do I have the kids? What days don't I have the kids? What do they have going on? All the stuff. It can get pretty crazy sometimes, but not so much anymore with the Skylight calendar. It's the perfect gift for busy moms who love organization. That's me. The Skylight calendar is a smart touchscreen calendar and organizer for all your chores, groceries, to-do lists, and a great way to manage appointments to make sure they never overlap and they're never missed. It helps keep busy households on track and everyone on the same page so families can get time back for the moments that matter.
No more constant reminders, no more cluttered paper calendars, no more worrying what someone has forgotten something. Skylight Calendar is available in two sizes, a 10-inch or a 15-inch. The 15-inch size is wall-mountable. It shows all family events together in one spot with events color-coded so you can easily see what everyone has going on each week. The chore chart feature helps establish positive habits and routines while allowing the family to easily manage household tasks. Kids love checking off chores and watching their progress bar update. 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love the Skylight calendar, you'll receive a full refund. We offer a 120-day money-back guarantee and free returns. As a special limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/level. That's skylightcal.com/level. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/level.
So then Elvira is shooting photos with you and Hef on the back patio. And I noticed Chris Samaruso is the one taking the photos. And he was the one who would always take portraits of us with our pets.
Yeah.
He was really good at like photoshopping the pets. So everybody looked perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a really good job. So then I bring her upstairs to see my room. And this is like one of my biggest disappointments because I can tell the room is in transition. There's a bin of Halloween stuff. I can see like bloody leg stumps sticking out and things like that. And I can tell that I have all of the pictures and framed things off the walls and kind of stacked along the side because I'm going to put up all that specialty wallpaper and everything, but it isn't done yet because this is back in like, I think August or something like that, that we're filming this late August because I used to pull all of my Halloween stuff out in August. This is what I usually like to do even now, pull everything out in August, kind of get an idea of what I want to do, decorate all of September because I really go all out. So it takes a long time to do it all and then have it decorated all through October.
Yeah.
And then November 1st, if I'm not hungover, it can come down.
Yeah.
If not, it's November 2nd. But now it's Nick's birthday on November 1st. So I have to, you know, maybe push it a few days.
Yeah.
But anyway, I give her a tour and I love her reaction because she like is gassed and practically passes out.
And I love the montage they show of all the pink stuff and they focus in on my favorite prop, the pillow that says pink. It's not just a color. Yes. It's an attitude.
Yes. And I'm saying, oh, I have Woof Woof dolls though. And I have a spooky Barbie collection and I have Woof Woof and a cradle. She's like, that's so Rosemary's Baby.
It kind of is.
It is.
What do you think Rosemary's Baby looks like? Because if you guys don't know Rosemary's
Baby.
Wait,
I think they show it for a second.
No, I don't think they do.
Wait, okay, I haven't seen the movie in a really long time, but I thought at the very, very end.
No, she just looks in. I mean, I'll double check this before I let this play out. But the way I remember Rosemary's Baby is she looks in the bassinet at the very end and you don't see the baby. You just see her reaction. She goes, oh my God, it's eyes.
Oh, that gave me a chill.
So what do you think Rosemary's Baby looks like?
Well, because I thought I saw it. So I have a vision in my head.
What does it look like?
It's like a, okay, how do I even describe it? It's like a little demon thing. Like, uh-huh. I'm trying to like make the details come through. Like, I feel like I have like a blurry image sort yeah. of, but like, and it's like, if I remember right, it's like so quick. Like you just barely, it's like a flash that they show it, but it was just like very demon like. Like it's like a baby form, but like it doesn't look like a baby. Like it's like.
I picture it a baby thing. With goat's eyes. Have you ever seen what a goat's eye looks like?
Yeah.
It has like those weird up and down pupils.
Oh, my vision is not so clear that I can like do that, but I feel like it had horns and it had like, it was discolored. Want to know a funny off story on the Rosemary's Baby thing?
Yes.
So Nick's mom is best friends with Mia Farrow.
I love
who played
Mia
Rosemary's
so
Baby.
Much. I think Mia Farrow is like the strongest person. Like just all the shit she's been through.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
In the scene, I'm trying to get pointers from Elvira, like for my Halloween costume. And in interview, I say it was so cool that Elvira was here. I mean, who can say that they've had Elvira in their bedroom? And then it's kind of quiet for a minute. I'm like, well, hopefully not too many people.
Yeah. That's funny.
And then I tell her, I'm so glad I got a chance to meet her. And I'm so glad that she came up to the mansion. And she's like, so who do I have to talk to? Like, she's still doing her thing, you know, who do I have to talk to live here? And then I get really serious with her and I say, oh, you have to go blonde. And then it shows her like,
that's so funny.
Rushing out of there, slamming the door. Bye.
And then the next scene, they cut to a really cool Easter egg.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They
yes.
cut to one of the tombstones in the front yard and it says Kevin Burns in Hell.
Yes.
Which was the tombstone for our executive producer, Kevin Burns. But the reason it's a fun Easter egg is back then, nobody knew who Kevin Burns was. Like, his name is at the very end of the credits, but like nobody knew. So yeah. It's like anytime he was on the show, which was usually when he's in a huge like costume and you can't see what he is.
Oh, he makes a cameo in this.
Yeah, for sure. We always thought it was fun because like the audience didn't know who he was. So
yeah.
And then it shows Pumpkin Night happening.
Mm-hmm.
We get a rare Ashley sighting.
I know.
So, you know what I have to say, not to be the downer of downers and just down on this scene, but I was watching the scene and I'm like, I hate this scene. It's so boring. And the reason why is because it's another one of those scenes. It's just so overdone, repeated. Like, this is so throwback to season one where it's like, here's the girls all doing something fun and Kendra's going to walk down late to her hip hop music and do something that's a little off. And it's not like I'm hating on it because it's just a Kendra thing, because I have tropes that happen over and over in the show that I hate. Like, I hate how I'm always trying to make the Playmate House happen. Like, I need to give that up already.
Yeah.
But I just feel like we should be past this already. Like, it's season two. Can't we do something a little more creative? Like, I feel like I've seen this scene a million times before. Like, the obvious example I can think to compare it to was the Easter egg.
Yeah.
This is exactly like the Easter egg party, but in a different font.
You know what's funny is you say that in commentary.
Oh, I do.
Which is interesting because I say in commentary, Holly says this is not her favorite sequence because it's redundant to Easter. And you actually say it was filmed two Halloweens ago. So that's correct then on the pumpkin carving thing.
I couldn't watch with commentary this time when I was doing the research because I couldn't find like my DVD plug-in for my computer. So I had to do YouTube. But
oh, Stitch Fix sends style so good you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. It's so easy. I went on and took a little quiz about my style, and then they showed me a whole bunch of pictures of different outfit ensembles, and I gave it a thumbs up or a thumbs down whether I would wear any of those things or not. So it was actually kind of fun to do as well.
Oh, I loved my Stitch Fix stuff. I got all these amazing black basics, and then they sent me this blazer that's kind of like plaid, and it's very on brand for me. It's very Capricorn. I loved it so much.
My stylist helps take my wardrobe to the next level. She knows what works for me, sometimes even better than I do myself. She helps me discover new things about my style. It's like my stylish best friend is shopping for me. I just give my stylist my size, style, and budget preferences. I order boxes when I want and how I want, no subscription required. And she sends 5 just for me pieces, plus outfit recommendations and pro styling tips. I keep what I love and send back the rest. It's just so easy. And if you don't love something, just send it back. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/GNL. That's stitchfix.com/GNL. stitchfix.com/GNL.
Yeah, and like obviously I love all of this stuff and everything, but I did think that it's unfortunate that it has to be Kendra coming late again, mm-hmm. and then being really loud, like she's yelling,
yeah,
because her pumpkin's not turning out, and then, you know, of course a failure at her pumpkin carving, which is not really a failure. No, you can't mess up carving a pumpkin. It's like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did feel all of those things, too. But what I hated most about this scene were the sound effects.
Oh, yeah, they're a little gross. Like, I love the special effects when they do it in the show. I love anything cartoony, but it's on par with, like, the bodily function noises. So we're scooping the innards out of the pumpkin, and it's like, bleh, bleh, blah, blah. Like, it makes me want to puke listening to it. It's just so like, gross.
Like, gooey and bleh.
Yeah.
Just disgusting.
So one thing I wanted to talk about, too, is dial it back a little bit. So this is the first episode of, like, the second half of season 2.
Yes.
The episodes that they added onto the end. So the last thing we'd filmed before this was Kendra's 21st birthday in June. So we had like most of June, all of July, and almost all of August off before we started filming again. And the first thing we would film back is what's going to be the next episode, the anniversary episode.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we do that summer? Because I just found my scrapbook accordion files from this section.
I'm bringing up my notes right now. So we finished like mid-June because we got back from our Europe trip like June 4th or something like that. And then we had the baby shower on like June 10th and then a few other little like things in there. So then we're done. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was the last thing we filmed. And then like June 17th, we have the Jazz Festival, which is mm-hmm. always a big deal for all of us. And then on June 28th, we shot Mike's Hard Lemonade, which I thought was really fun to shoot. And we have pictures from that. And I'll post it on our Patreon.
Yeah, I don't remember anything from that shoot, but what was that? Was it like an ad for E? Did it run on E? Did we get paid extra for it? Was it just something we were wrangled into doing?
I don't think we got paid for it.
Because a lot of this stuff, a lot of this brand deal stuff and ads, we didn't always get paid for. We were just kind of like expected to be team players and jump on board, which we were fine doing because obviously the show's a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
And we would get paid little things like for the Captain Morgan, we got paid kind of like a photo shoot fee for being in the photos, but it's not really on par with what you would think of as like a celebrity. And I put that in quotes because I don't think I'm like a big celebrity because I was on one season of Girls Next Door at this point. You know what I mean? But yeah. Anybody who's on TV, you would think like their brand deals or endorsements, you get paid a decent amount of money. It was never on par with that. We were always just kind of wrangled in and like, oh, here's like a couple $1,000 for the shoot day. But like, did we even get paid for filming a Mike's Hard Lemonade ad?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember any paycheck with that. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
And like any extra commercials we did for E, that was always just like expected.
Oh, we do tons of stuff for E. Remember E Online was always coming to film with us?
Yeah, which sucked about E Online because that was the home of like the horrible mean message boards that they just allowed to thrive.
I loved working with the people from E Online. Like I just thought they were so fun and they did like really fun little skits with us. And I remember anytime E Online wanted to film something, I was like, yes, like we do game shows and stuff. And they would bring like buzzers and like set up like a fake game show looking thing.
I have no memory of this for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And like I would win I remember winning a prize and it was a framed picture of Hef. And I kept it in my room after that.
That makes sense because there are some oddly framed photos of Hef in the backgrounds of your confessionals moving forward. And yeah. I remember thinking, that's weird.
Yeah. Well, I shoot it with E! Online this summer because we do most of what we do. Like we have a busy schedule, but most of what we do that whole summer is promoting because this is June and July, but on August 1st, season one DVD is coming out. And they have us promoting our asses off.
And it's interesting because we're already almost done shooting season two. And we still, like, this is going to be the first we're learning that our nudity is, like, on every DVD in Walmart. You know what I mean?
Uncensored.
So we're only just now learning this.
We don't even know it yet. Not till we get to August 1st.
Yeah.
But July 1st through the 3rd, I leave and go do Celebrity Paranormal Project.
How was that?
Amazing. Do we want to get into it here or like?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's on theme.
Yeah. So I got called down to Mary's office one day and she said that there was an offer that came in for me to do Celebrity Paranormal Project, but they almost didn't give it to me or tell me about it because it's for VH1 and E doesn't want me doing it and Hef doesn't want me doing it. But
so how did it get through? Did Mary come to your rescue?
She didn't say she came to my rescue, but she just said that Hef decided that it was an opportunity he couldn't keep from me, knowing how much I love all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he had gone to bat with E to let me do it. And it was literally leaving like that weekend, though.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I have and I'll put these all on our Patreon, but it says leaving this Sunday. Like, that's what the memo says. Like, and I don't know what day I was there, but they flew me to, I was super excited about this. They flew me to Maine. I don't think I knew who the other contestants were because when we got to the hotel in Bangor, Maine, they kept us all sequestered. But I remember they had we weren't allowed, but I could smell pot coming from one of the rooms.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was like, who is that? I know that's got to be somebody from the thing. And then the next day, they all take us to this like little tiny, there's a little dock. Uh-huh. It's like not anything big. And we're all sitting there waiting. That's the first time we all meet each other. And they take us in a boat to this little island. And there's like a 400,000 square foot abandoned textile mill.
Ooh,
and
spooky.
They drop us off right at dusk. And we have to stay there until dawn. And there's no camera crew on it. We have to film ourselves. But there's cameras set up throughout the place that's filming. And we have a computer that tells us what we need to do. So my team was Mia St. John. She's a boxer and has done Playboy. And Andrew Firestone. He was one of the original Bachelors.
Oh, yeah.
Coolio, which was amazing. And David Carradine. And me.
Fun. That's an eclectic group.
Yeah. And it was such a fun experience. I'm so glad I did it. I want them to bring that show back so bad. I want to host it.
That'd be fun.
I know. I feel like I should just email them and tell them, let's do this, please.
Do you feel like real stuff happened when you were there? Or do you feel like you were tricked for like content purposes?
I think a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it was set up. I tried to ask them. I was on a flight and I just happened to be sitting next to one of the executive producers. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, so tell me about this. Did you guys set it up? And he just got all giggly and wouldn't say anything. So I'm confident some of the stuff was set up.
Oh.
But something whispered in my ear. And
that can't be made up.
Yeah, ew, you can't. Ew, you can't make that shit up.
Yeah.
And it was like, I could feel the breath. Like, I could feel it.
Oh,
you know?
I've had that happen to me at this house. Yeah.
So, like, yes, I think a lot of it was made up, but not all of it. And I actually am linking my episode on our Patreon.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'm also going to, I found like tons of artifacts that I have from it. Like they had this, my name on the door in their font and all that stuff. I thought all that stuff was so cool.
Yeah.
And just like the packet that they gave me when I arrived and like just all the little memorabilia stuff that I saved. I'm going to post it all on the Patreon so you guys can see it there. And then I get back on July 3rd and the next day is 4th of July, of course.
But it's crazy how this whole summer, and you're probably only halfway through the list, we're doing so much press and so much promotion, which I hated doing press just because I thought the press was oftentimes very rude to us. I don't mind doing the work to do like all the promotion and stuff because I thought the show was a good opportunity. So I'm not like mad about it. But it's just interesting to note how hard they were working us that summer. Because for people who were so quote unquote replaceable and who didn't matter and, you know, the show's not about us.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, they sure thought we were important enough to engage in all this promotion and get their money's worth out of us. You know what I mean?
But then we also do interviews with Australian media. And then we're doing, E! Is doing a whole thing where they film us getting ready to go to Katana. And we go to Katana for dinner and then do the Sky Vodka party. But E's filming us do all that for like, you know, their own content.
I don't remember that at all.
And we do, there's a big party at the mansion with K-Rock and we do interviews with Kevin and Bean and go to that party. Mm-hmm. We're doing Extra, the Girls Next Door E! Promo shoot that I was talking about where the game show and all that kind of stuff. And then I have just another random Girls Next Door promo. And then I have the Ryan Seacrest interview. And we also do Good Day LA, MSN.com and AOL.com that day. But the Ryan Seacrest interview, July 26th, that's when I had a meltdown.
Yeah.
A total meltdown.
When we heard they were adding more episodes, but we weren't getting a pay bump.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first we know they're adding more episodes to the season, but you guys aren't going to make anything more. So chill. And I was not so chill. And yeah, we the next day we do Craig Ferguson and Bill Maher and Access Hollywood. Then the next day it's August 1st. Now we're doing Good Day LA and I mean KTLA Best Damn Sports Show, Tom Likas. The list just keeps going on and on, all the different. Oh, one day we have a whole French press day.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's crazy. But there were some fun things that we got to do in here. So let me back up a little bit and add the fun things that we got to do. This one, I don't know if it's fun or promotion, but we did shoot for the Lingerie Bowl.
Yeah. And that was interesting. Every year they would have this special during the Super Bowl that was like the Lingerie Bowl. So we were shooting for it because I guess we were going to be commentators at it. So we shot the pictures, but then the Lingerie Bowl got canceled before it could happen. So
I remember I was so excited about being a part of it.
Me too, because back then, like, if you were part of the Lingerie Bowl, that meant you were a bombshell.
Yeah.
Like, it was a thing. And I loved my little outfit they made for me, which we ended up wearing on Benchwarmer cards. It was like a white and baby blue, like, football lingerie outfit thingy.
I have some photos from that day that I can post. We did the Kitson. This was actually work, too, but we did the DVD signing at Kitson. And your jewelry?
Yeah, there was an event to promote my jewelry line. And I remember I got so mad because Kendra was so late to it. And she ended up apologizing to me later. But I just remember feeling like weird about it. I mean, first I felt weird about it because it was my jewelry line, but I'm not good enough to do the appearance by myself. So that was kind of a weird underbelly feeling I had about it. And then I think I felt like, why is she being late? Is she being late because it's my thing?
Well, I think that they were piling on to you. You probably would have just done it if it was the jewelry line, but they're trying to like also promote the DVDs right here. So it says on the things that we're doing, it's your jewelry line launch thing at Kitson, but also DVD signing.
Okay, because that makes sense. Because, and this isn't something we're getting paid for at all. This is just like something we're expected to do.
Oh, one of the other things I forgot to mention, and this was work, is we did the Big Tower Records event too. So we're doing all these signings, we're doing all these like press things.
It's like every day.
It is every day. Oh, but one thing, we do go to Paris Hilton's album debut.
Oh yeah, I remember she sent out invitations to it and it had a tiara in the bag.
Cute. I love that. So yeah.
Stars are blind.
I know.
You must have heard it that night.
No, when I went, after we recorded that, I went and listened to it. And I do recognize the song. So I do know which one it is. But I just, it doesn't like pop out to me like that I know it off the top of my head. But now I know it. Now I know it. And I did know it. Yeah. So that was our busy summer. And that took us all the way to August 23rd. And literally the next day we're filming.
Yeah. So they got their money's worth out of us.
For sure.
We were kept very busy. Do you remember like how you were feeling that summer? I mean, I know the Ryan Seacrest meltdown happened, so that must have been part of it.
Well, honestly, I feel like for most of it, I was kind of on top of the world. We're doing all this press. Yeah. We have a hit show. I got to go do VH1 Celebrity Paranormal Project. And I just feel like, wow, we're getting opportunities. This is exciting. This is fun. But when they added those episodes on, like, and weren't going to offer to pay us, and we're doing all this press. I don't know if I was just tired or what, but I you guys, I can't describe how much of a meltdown I had because I really melted down there. And I just felt like we were really being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And so it kind of went from like a high to that being a low. And then I just had to get over it because the bottom line was, we're not paying you anymore. So
yeah,
too fucking bad was the attitude.
Yeah. I remember kind of being a little bit melancholy that summer because even though we'd done so much, like we just shot our second cover, like we were doing a hit TV show. Like when you look at it in context like that, I can see how, oh my God, I was making so much progress and doing so much for someone in my position. But at the time, I didn't feel that way. I felt very much like, oh my God, my life isn't going anywhere. I'm stuck here. Everyone else is moving on. I remember really feeling strongly that May when Kara was doing her Playmate of the Year. I felt like she's graduating and she's moving on and I'm just stuck here and nothing's changing. I felt like nothing was changing in Hef's in my relationship. I felt like I was missing my window to have kids. I felt like, you know, and we didn't know that there were more seasons of the show coming. I didn't know I was going to go on to like work at the studio. I didn't know we had two more covers. Like we didn't know any of this. So I thought, oh, we got to do some cool things, but maybe I didn't feel like that was enough for all the years we'd been through, like all the 4 years of Mean Girl drama that led up to that.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling kind of melancholy and like, okay, cool. If we get the show renewed, cool.
Well, I have a thought on why you might have felt that way.
Why?
Aside from, I mean, this doesn't help your what was going on in your relationship or, mm-hmm. you know, your timeline for having kids or anything. But we know that Kendra's already doing all kinds of appearances, club appearances and things yeah. like that. So she's getting to leave and do all these like extra events. And now I'm getting VH1 Celebrity Paranormal Project. And even though it's just uh-huh. like a quick trip or whatever, it's a new opportunity. And I did get paid for it.
Yeah.
And you aren't getting, it's not that you're not getting those things, uh-huh. but you're not able to go do those things even if something came in. I mean, you might have had things coming in that we don't even, they weren't going to even show me this. So who knows 100%. All the things.
Playboy PR told me that everybody in the club appearance space knew that I would not do a club appearance unless it was, I only did charity parties. And I was like, wait, I never said that. So somebody put that rumor out there to just stop me from getting offers. And I don't know if it who it was coming from.
But all our offers came through Playboy PR or got to the mansion directly, but never to us.
Yeah, usually. No, nobody had any way to get a hold of us. So it was all filtered.
So everything was gatekept. And I often wonder, like, what other opportunities came for me that
we'll
I wasn't
never
allowed
know.
To do?
Yeah, we'll never know.
I know.
And this would all come to a culmination on Hef's and my anniversary, which we'll see in the next episode.
Yeah.
So that was my summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the first half of this episode. Next week, we will go on to our spooky tour and all the stuff that goes along with it. So if you would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.